In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, last Sunday, if you remember, I left us in a pretty dismal place. Adam and Eve had been deceived by the serpent with a whopping two sentences. They willfully chose disobedience, corrupted God's perfect creation, and began a deadly cycle of sin and death, which continues to this day. On top of all of that, we now participate in that sin, making us just as culpable in the whole ordeal. So as I summarized, everything is messed up and it's all your fault. But that's okay, right? Adam and Eve eventually realized their fault, and through hard work and determination, they repaired their relationship with God. And all we have to do is have that same attitude, and we can make things right also. Sorry, I must be thinking of Joel Osteen's latest book. No, Genesis paints a far less encouraging picture. After eating a piece of fruit which was forbidden, the next recorded sin in the Bible takes things up a notch. Cain kills his brother Abel. And from there, things just get worse and worse until God decides to send a flood to wipe out all of mankind and to start all over with Noah and his family. Well, and thankfully, Noah, he's really good, and his descendants get things right by building a tower, reaching into the heavens as a testament to their own greatness. I think you get the point. Left to our own devices, mankind is utterly hopeless. Thankfully, God knows this, being omniscient and all. He knows that for us to even have a chance, He's the one who has to make the first move. In the restoration of the original relationship between God and man, man can do nothing. So God reaches out. Immediately following the episode at the Tower of Babel, we are given a genealogy that brings us to a man named Abram. And then, with no real introduction to Abram beyond basic geographical information and familial relationships, for the first time since Noah, God speaks. And to Abram he says, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all of the families of the earth shall be blessed." No more will God allow mankind to continue in their sin and then take drastic measures to fix things with floods or confusion. God chooses Abram and begins his covenant relationship with him and his descendants. God makes wonderful promises to Abram, and by extension to all of mankind, and expects just one thing in return: faith. God tells Abram to leave everything he knows, and Abram listens. The remainder of the Old Testament is the story of this covenant. God guides his people through his chosen messengers. God gives the law to his people that they may understand what it means to be holy and set apart. God provides, God disciplines, and through this relationship, God prepares his people for the ultimate solution to the problem of our estrangement. Never demanding more than what he expected from Abram. Faith. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promised may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. We are now called to share the faith of Abraham. God spoke, he listened, and his faith made him righteous. We simply believe the promises of God, and through God's grace, we will share in those promises. But the promises made to us are so much greater than the property, progeny, and prosperity promised to Abraham. We are the inheritors of a better covenant, Through Christ, we are promised eternal life. By water and the Spirit, we are given the opportunity to be born again, to be born into a deathless life. In His Son, Jesus Christ, God the Father provides the means for man's reconciliation to Himself. God came to us and took on our humanity so that what we messed up, God could fix. So here we are. To everything is messed up and it's all your fault, we have now added, but in His love for us, God has fixed it. This should be the end of the story. Just like in any good family sitcom, in 30 minutes we have a misunderstanding, some comical hijinks, and finally the aha moment that leads to reconciliation, all tied up with a pretty ribbon, ready for next week's conflict. So why are we still here talking about all of this? If everything is okay now, what are we doing here? If last week ended on a depressing note, it seems that this week we are ending on an unrealistically positive one. Because when we look out at the world, it doesn't seem as simple as an episode of Full House. But for the next part of the story and the answer to these questions, you'll have to tune in next week. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.